In 2004, end of 2004, we had the East Asia tsunami disaster. And I think, you know, in a lot of ways, I feel it was one of the first sort of big televised disasters, you know, in all its horror. You know, we was just on all the 24-hour news channels and, you know, so many images. And I was new to the area and I was friends with another local promoter who had been in the area for a long time, had many more connections than me, but I had a background in the music industry and in event production. And I was working with actually managing several bands from downstate. It's a whole other story about how I came up to upstate, but I'm really glad that I did. And we were having coffee and said, you know, I feel like you don't you want to do something? And there was just sort of this call to try to respond to it. And so with very little time and resources, but with connections to really good people in this community, some of the best known bands at the time, the Burners UK and Doc Scanlon and Ernie Williams, we just started putting together a benefit concert. And it was amazing. Mayor Jennings, the Albany mayor at that time, donated the use of the Palace Theater, and the Stagehands Union donated their services, and the Sound and Lights Company, which was Bill Reinhart's Aces, donated the sound and the lights. And so on almost no cash sponsorship, and within 5 weeks, and certainly with no time to bring in out-of-area bands or anything, you know, we just got a lot of local talent together. They answered the call. The Albany Underground Artists were very active at that time, Chip Fasciana, Mark Gregory, and they threw up this pop-up art show, and we had, I think it must have been 5 hours of music on, you know, the main stage and in the balcony. And we raised $26,000 from 2,000 people who showed up to the show.
Whoa.
And it was a $10 ticket, I think. You know, might have been a little bit more, $12 day of. And so to me, it was like the trifecta. The community came out in a big way to support this. The amazing, my eyes were open to how deep the creative vitality of this area was, as represented by all the folks who came out. And the community who came, those 2,000 people who came out, got to experience, I think, a lot of the arts in the area they may not have been aware of. And all of this, we kind of put the roof over it with raising money for a really worthy cause. And my head was spinning after that show to say, well, how do we perpetuate this idea of supporting our community together at the same time that we're empowering our creatives to do more? And that concept of Rock Tree Build, you know, we kind of put a roof over it literally with Albany Barn, which was, as we learned more about the needs of our creative community, how could we equip these folks from all different disciplines, whether they were painters or digital artists or chefs, you know, how could we help folks take their craft and turn it into a career? And of course, that model's evolved since we founded the organization in 2006 and since we opened the doors in 2014. And we just opened another site in Schenectady, the Electric City Barn, last year. So that's really interesting because there were lessons that we learned at Albany Barn that we've really applied to what we've done at the Electric City Barn. But it really, it all comes down to that kernel of incubating the creative talent, but also creating those connections and putting them back into the community as change agents. In that way, sort of nurturing not just the creatives, but the overall community.
And that's what you've replicated now in Schenectady.
We're trying, you know, it's funny. So the irony of my pitch now is don't, as a volunteer, don't feel you have to volunteer based on what you do every day. Volunteer based on what makes you happy.
What you want to give.
That's right. I mean, it parallels sort of, I think, some of the creatives that we've helped to, you know, again, do become more self-sustaining with their work, which is, and we've seen, you know, we had folks who, this is a second career, you know, and this was the ledge that they needed to take the leap, you know, which is really cool and not fall. And so in that way, I think, you know, volunteers should get involved because they want to apply a passion, or maybe it's just they're passionate what they do in their everyday life and they feel that they can, you know, bring that expertise to bear. But
it should be a mutually beneficial relationship.
It should be a mutually beneficial relationship in all regards. I mean, that's the premise of everything we do, candidly. The notion of, you know, we support our creatives by providing not just physical space, you know, and that includes residential in Albany, affordable physical space, but we provide supportive services. So business development, training, access to financial resources, grant writing, access to places where they can collaborate and expand their network. But there's always a sweat equity packed in play. You know, our expectation is that, look, for all those things, you need to give back. And whether that's sharing your talent or sharing your time or both, you know, we want you to get involved in community programming. And that's sort of where those connections start to happen, so that we're not just sort of physically located in a neighborhood. And in this case with Albany Barn, it's Arbor Hill, in a neighborhood that's, you know, obviously one of our most highly impoverished communities right now. And, you know, we want our folks to then engage with particularly youth, but everyone from that neighborhood, create those connections, not just to provide opportunities to broaden the horizons of a kid to understand that, hey, you know, I can apply, I can make a life being creative, but I can also apply creative skills to other workforce opportunities,
right.
You know, so I can build set furniture, or I can build set, you know, sets for a theatrical performance, but those carpentry skills can be applied elsewhere,
yeah.
Or I can do a really cool digital media project, but if I understand how to utilize a computer and do computer graphics, there's a lot of things that I can do with that. But it's those linkages then that we hope creates that sense of shared community. And for our creatives, if they're not from the area, maybe that Arbor Hill neighborhood becomes their community of choice. Mm. And now when they leave our physical space, the barn, maybe they're looking in the neighborhood for their first home experience. Mm. And we can connect with other really important opportunity or other organizations in the neighborhood, like the land bank, like the community loan fund for access to capital, you know, to help them homestead. But they're not coming from outside the community, you know, they're from the community.
Right.
Now this is an opportunity to perpetuate that.
So how have you brought what you have learned working with the Albany Barn to your work at the Rosenblum Company?
It's funny. I mean, I always say I fell backwards into real estate development. And candidly, I feel very blessed to have been connected with the Rosenblum family, with Seth Rosenblum, because sort of the values of our company really align with the community values. You know, at the end of the day, look, we're a for-profit company. You know, we have a bottom line. We're focused on having financially successful projects. But And as salesy as this sounds, I think, you know, our values, we kind of boil down to three C's. And it's sort of a lens that we look at every project with: community, client, company. And it's typically in that order. So we really look at a project and say, you know, what impact is this going to have on the community? Can we make the investments to make this a productive part of our neighborhood? You know, we like to go to the neighborhood early, get feedback, and understand that we're not just building a building or restoring a building. You know, we're involved in placemaking. And when you're involved in placemaking, there's a lot of partners. And a lot of them have been there longer than you. And you need to respect that and be responsive to that. And then it's the clients. You know, how can we provide a Class A client experience regardless? You know, we build self-storage, but even there, we're so focused on providing the very best experience, going into a nice, brightly lit office that's very modern with amenities, and having it be in a convenient location where you feel safe going there and you feel safe putting your stuff there, right up to a project like The News, where we're doing, you know, something that hadn't been done in the downtown and as very little comparisons throughout the state of pairing new construction with historic adaptive reuse. So, and then of course we look at the company bottom line and say, okay, at the end of the day, does this make sense for us financially? And it doesn't, you know, I'm going to probably regret saying this, you know, you look at the final value assessment is not strictly financial, I guess, you know, and everybody's like, well, you guys are just in it to make money. And that's not the case. It's part of the equation. But what I really like about the company is that the value assessment is broader than just the bottom line.